WNST, Towson of Baltimore and Baltimore Positive, freshly back from Pittsburgh and ready to celebrate 31 years of Baltimore radio on Tuesday. Will be the anniversary this week, but we're going to celebrate on Thursday at Costas. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. I got my Window Nation gear on, 866-90-NATION. Do what I did this summer. Order some new windows. Buy two, you get two free and 0% financing. That's Window Nation's deal. I'll be giving away some Raven scratch-offs as well as some holiday scratch-offs from the Maryland Lottery at Costas. This on Thursday. We have Gina Shock from the Go-Go stopping by. My dude John Allen will be with me. The Hammerjacks crew will be there. The old Beyond Words and the current Milkshake group will be there as well. We'll be talking old school rock and roll, East Side Magic, and the legend of Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Gina Shock from the Go-Go's. That's all Thursday at Costas in Dundalk. We'll probably have some Crab Imperial too to make me feel like a king. Felt like a king driving back from Pittsburgh. I was allowed to have a media pass for the first time in a long time. Pittsburgh Steelers made sure that I was made hospitable. And the Ravens were less than hospitable guests in beating the Steelers 16-14. Luke Jones joins us now after a long ride up the mountain and then back down the mountain and through Breezewood. My columnist will be available out at BaltimorePositive.com, as well as Luke's work in Owings Mills all week long. And I guess, Luke, the big question is health. And you and I talked a little bit about me being in the locker room after the game and seeing the whole team, other than Bateman. I mean, guys are coming back. Guys are a part of this. Maybe it's not perfect in the case of J.K. Dobbins' health. And Lamar was not limping around, but walking around. There is a vibe that they're at least not where they were last year, which was a shell of what they wanted to be as the team was assembled. There's a piece of Eric DaCosta and Ozzie Newsome watching this thing from 3 feet behind me in the press box, guffawing and awing and go get it and, you know, cheering and all the things that they do, that at least their head is, well, this is the team we put together in the offseason for the most part, way, way unlike where they were last time, December.
Yeah, and even before December, I mean, they lost Marcus Peters, Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins before the season even started. You know, go down the list of some other guys, Derek Wolfe, L.J. Ford. I mean, and then as the year went on, it was just a case of trying to hold on, whereas this year they've had some injuries. It's not as though they've been the healthiest team in the league. They also haven't been the most injury-riddled team in the league, although it's felt like it at various points. But you knew that, whether you were talking about a Marcus Williams, you know, who goes down in week five with the dislocated wrist, comes back and has an interception. What, he has four interceptions in six games as a Raven. That's what the Ravens wanted when they signed him. Maybe not to that extreme that you're going to expect that, but it shows the range he has on the back end. And we saw that on Sunday, picking off Mitch Trubisky at the 1 yard line. But for me, I think you look at someone like J.K. Dobbins, for example, and we've talked about this since before training camp started, when NFL Network had the report out in mid-July that Dobbins was questionable for week one, and he went on social media, kind of went on the attack. He shouldn't have done it, but I also understood his passion in, we've seen this kid along the way come back from a really brutal injury. This wasn't just a run-of-the-mill ACL. I mean, he tore multiple ligaments. He tore his hamstring off the bone, you know, in that injury in the 2021 preseason finale. So we know how long the road has been for him to get back and even to undergo the arthroscopic knee surgery back in late October to clear up some of the scar tissue because he thought it was really impacting his range of motion. For me, what was impressive is not just the production. I mean, runs for 120 yards on 15 carries, had what, I think three carries of 10 plus yards in the game, scored the touchdown. But you saw him on that 44-yard run. He still has a little hitch in the giddy up. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that, but that's not to say that he shouldn't be out there. That's not to say that he's running risk of re-injury. It's just, he's not 100% yet in terms of pre-injury form, in the same way that we talked about that with Saquon Barkley, you know, being 2 years removed and how much better he's looked in 2022 compared to last year.
Well, you could see he didn't have the breakaway speed, and he even alluded to the fact that he got caught.
But the idea that he still produced in the way that he did and gained yards after contact and still was able to be explosive. And, you know, he gives them a different element at running back. As much as guys like me have hammered the table talking about the passing game and lack of wide receivers, for a running game to really make a difference, you do need someone who can be more of a home run hitter. And he gives them an element that, frankly, and I say this with no disrespect to Kenyon Drake, who's done really nice job for them. You know, I say this with no disrespect to Gus Edwards, because we know when he's right, what he means in terms of short yardage and just that physicality. But J.K. Dobbins just, he's different when he's out there, and he's at least as healthy as he was on Sunday, as opposed to what he looked like the last time we had seen him up at the Meadowlands, you know, kind of not looking great on that turf against the Giants. And then he decides to get his knee scoped after that. But he gives them, you know, a little more of a home run hitter element. And if you're going to be a team that is going to rely on its running game to the degree that the Ravens are right now, which they've been that way for a few years, but we haven't seen the same level of passing efficiency that they've had in the past when they've been at their best offensively, you need that kind of guy. You need that element of someone that can bust a long run. And for him to do that in his first game back since late, you know, since October, mid-October, you know, that's impressive. It really was against a defense that knew the Ravens wanted to run the football, with an offensive line that, yes, got Ronnie Stanley back, but was missing Kevin Zeitler. And we know how important he is at the right guard position. So for Dobbins to do what he did, for this running game to do what it did, that was encouraging. Now, moving forward, you hope he wakes up, you know, Monday morning and is feeling good. You hope continues to feel good practicing. I'm sure they'll give him some vet days here and there when need be, as far as to get him off his feet. But he gives them a different element that, sure, we know wide receiver is what it is. Again, I've talked about that as much as anyone, but to get a little more upside back with that running game. And I thought Gus Edwards looked better this past week than he had in his previous games coming back from the hamstring right before my week. You know, you get those two guys on the field, and keep in mind, this was the first time we've seen those two play in a real game, not counting preseason in 2021, but first time those two have played together in a real game that counts since the Buffalo playoff loss 2 years ago. It's been a minute. So to have them both on the field and contributing in the way they did, Gus Edwards, 66 yards himself. He had a couple of runs where he broke some tackles and got 10 plus yards. That was good to see. It really was. And I get it. You know, it's not your typical great Steelers team and some of the best years of this rivalry, but the Ravens being as shorthanded as they were, specifically at quarterback, to get those contributions from those two guys, knowing what they've been through and the physical challenges they've gone through, that was really encouraging. And that's something that if you want to point to be optimistic here over the final four-game stretch and then into January, it's having J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards on the field and producing the way they did against the Steelers.
Well, no one's going to confuse this passing attack here with, you know, the 99 Rams or anything, right? I mean, they're not going to pass the ball particularly well, and I know you need to believe that they're going to do that in January. The running game is the foundation for all of this, and I would even say, as much as you praise the running backs, and we talk about Dobbins, and he hit sort of a home run at one point, and Gus Edwards was at least available, Ronnie Stanley being upright in the locker room, and I wound up talking to him for a couple of minutes at the end of the game. I still go back to that. There was not a point, and it struck me as a guy that's done this for 27 years, right, that I haven't been next to Ronnie Stanley in 3 years, right? Like, I haven't been in a locker room, whatever. Mm-hmm. And here I am, he was around for a long, long time before the plague. And, you know, I've been in a locker room with Ronnie Stanley. I know the sound of his voice and, you know, all of that. But seeing him in there, I started to think to myself, wow, that couple years ago when he went down, and I'm like, they can't win without him. Then last year, obviously the mess. This year, the fact that he's upright in December in the locker room, and they're running the ball a little better. They ran the ball a little better. And then you can talk about the Steelers defense all you want as well. But Ronnie Stanley being a part of this too. And I know Zeitler, we're questioning him, but we won't be questioning him in January. Getting the health of this thing. And I saw Leanne Curl and Dr. Andy Tucker in the locker room for the first time in a while. Nice beard for Dr. Tucker there as well. Holding the Humpty Dumpty part of this thing together in the aftermath of what happened last year. And quite frankly, again, being in that locker room and every person I walked around the locker room and put a microphone flag in front of, all of those people missed time this year. All of these guys have been hurt at various points. Not that that should be shocking. It's the NFL. But you need them all to be right so you can have a running game to give Lamar a chance. You need a healthy Mark Andrews. You need a healthy Lamar. You need a healthy Ronnie Stanley. You need a healthy Gus Edwards. You need a healthy J.K. Dobbins. We're talking about the whole infirmary that cost them the year last year.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. And if you're looking to for reasons for optimism that the passing game can be better, can be as good as it's capable of being, understanding you don't have great talent at the wide receiver position, it does come back to the offensive line protecting. It does come back to play action. Obviously, it comes back to Lamar Jackson coming back and looking like Lamar Jackson and knowing the threat to run, what that means for the passing game as well. All those elements are still there, other than the wide receiver thing, which I'm not diminishing, and I won't diminish.
But if they never get in third and 12, they don't have to give the ball up, right? If they're moving the ball forward with the running game, that's their jam. Sure. Like, literally, they would never pass the ball if they don't have to. They're in second and one, they run it again. They got a first down. They run it again. They're in second and three. They'll run it again. Like, if that was 2019, I'm not saying that's realistic that that's going to happen, but it better happen in January. Down in distance, weather, their inability to throw the ball, and their they don't want to throw the ball like that. They don't want to throw the ball 38 times in Buffalo or Cincinnati or Kansas City. And in order to do that, you better run the ball very effectively, because the minute the running game stops being effective, they're on their heels. They really are. They're not going to win those kind of games in January throwing miracle passes. I don't believe that. I believe it has the slobber knocker. I believe it's down in distance, and I believe it's the running game, and the running game. The pass game plays off of that, and that needs to work too. They need to hit Mark Andrews. Yeah. They need to make plays, move sticks when they're not in those down and distances. But the pre-snap penalties, the things that were killing them 6-8 weeks ago, feels like they're cleaning things up. I mean, it feels like driving down the mountain from Pittsburgh, they got a puncher's chance. They got a chance. I don't think they're the better. I think they're the fourth or fifth best team in the conference right now, even completely comprised because of the passing game issues. But they, on any given Sunday, if they can run the ball, you're not going to beat them.
Yeah. I mean, I think the difference, what we saw on Sunday, and again, they scored 16 points, you know, and they didn't have Lamar Jackson. We know that this was an incomplete Ravens team, but still, with what they were able to do, running for over 200 yards, that's what you like to see. I mean, and again, the element of doing it when a team knows you not just want to do it, they had to do it on Sunday, because you weren't going to put the ball in Anthony Brown's hands. Yeah, I mean, there are people in this town who, you know, continue to, you know, don't want to see Lamar Jackson throw 38 passes or 40 plus passes, which, you know, again, I've never said that that's what this needs to be, you know, when I'm talking about the passing game being more productive. But it does give you that element, and you know, with all these other pieces being on the field, being relatively healthy, getting Ronnie Stanley back now, having J.K. Dobbins back and looking as productive as he looked, Gus Edwards looking better this week, I think we saw very plainly what this offense looks like when they're not really running the ball as well as they need to be. They scored 10 points against Denver. You know, they weren't moving the ball against Denver even before Lamar Jackson got hurt. We saw them score 13 points against Carolina, and you know their lone touchdown was set up on a short field by their defense. You know, you're struggling to score points against non-contenders like that. Yeah, that's not going to translate well to January. So I think even those of us that are skeptical about how this team projects to be able to make a long-term playoff run, certainly the running game's important. I've never said it's not, you know, and I think anyone who, you know, talks about the passing game, they understand that, yeah, the running game continues to anchor this. So get that right. Keep guys on the field. Get Zeitler back. Obviously, Lamar comes back, you know, whether it's against Atlanta, whenever it is, he's going to be back. And you have all those elements in place. And then see if you can find that an improved level of efficiency with your passing attack at that point. But if you're not going to be able to run the ball, yeah, I don't think anyone's sitting there saying, yeah, as great as Lamar Jackson is and can be when he's at his best, I don't think anyone's sitting there with an expectation that they're just going to somehow find a way to find a more productive passing game if it's not all anchored to the running game being great. And we've seen the running game be really good for stretches this year, and you still look at how it ranks, it's still, you know, top five in a lot of categories. But that consistency, that explosiveness, which, you know, had kind of waned a little bit since the bye week, you know, even though It had seemed to be finding its way before the bye week. For them to do what they did Sunday, I think that's, that's just, it's critical. It's key. And health is, it's very fleeting. As much as you look at the post-game locker room, as you assessed, after Sunday's game, all it takes is one or two injuries at the wrong spot, and the conversation changes dramatically. But that is what's encouraging about this, that they don't have this long list of guys that are already on IR and not coming back. I mean, they've lost some guys, not just Bateman, Michael Pierce. We forget about him because that was week three.
Fuller?
But yeah, absolutely. Fuller, which, we've talked about how that's kind of impacted their cornerback depth.
Well, and Marcus Williams coming back made an impact.
Sure.
J.K.
No
Dobbins
question.
Coming back, make an impact. Ronnie Stanley back, made an impact. I mean, so
absolutely.
These are impact players. That's why they're first round draft picks. That's why they make the big bucks. That's mm-hmm. why the team drafts these guys in April and scouts them up and goes out in the free agency and spends a bunch of money saying this is a weakness. We need help on the back end. You've talked about slot corner and who's going to play back there and not having bodies. And certainly on a Sunday when Humphrey wasn't very good, Marlon Humphrey was not good on Sunday, and Marcus Peters hasn't been good since before. I mean, really an elite player since before. He's an elite mouth runner. He's an elite, troublemaker. He's the bad guy you want back there, running it. But if he can't play, he can't play at that level, then I mean, I love the leadership, but they got to be better on the back end, especially against Josh Allen, marksman,
right.
Especially when Mahomes is throwing underhand spirals 15 yards and winning games that way.
Right. And that's where you do look at it. I mean, Marlon Humphrey has been overall great this year. Sunday was, and he even, to his credit, I mean, he even tweeted and, he talked about it a little bit in the post game. I mean, he flat out said, I was a liability in coverage, and that's something we haven't said this year. Now, last year is a little more up and down. And I think that was a big product of he had to do so much for their defense last year. I mean, just considering the injuries they had, they're kind of asking him to do a lot, which, hey, he's a number one corner. Yeah, that goes with the job. And I think he would even acknowledge that. But yeah, that was, I think for the Ravens fans who were clamoring for a Pickens, I mean, George Pickens was taken after David Ajabo. And look, David Ajabo could still be the next Terrell Suggs, but right now he's not contributing for this team. He's not even active on game day, even though he's practicing fully and has for weeks. So you see that kind of talent. Yeah, it is a little bit frustrating there. But, in the case of Peters, up and down. At times he looks like Marcus Peters. At times it looks, diminished. And hey, he's 29 and coming off of a major knee injury. I don't think that's shocking. I think the big question is going to be, how does that project with him becoming a free agent? But that's beyond January. That's after January. That's after the playoffs. So you look at it, getting Marcus Williams back is huge. Kyle Hamilton gives up the touchdown at the end. And I noticed that's something he talked about. He showed some accountability there that, hey, I can't give up that touchdown to Freiermuth in that spot. But by and large, he's been a plus at that nickel spot because they really haven't had anyone else. It's great to say you can put Marlon Humphrey there, and they do that on occasion, but then who's playing outside corner? Brandon Stevens hasn't been able to do that job. We saw Jalen Armour Davis earlier in the season. He couldn't do that job. So their cornerback depth is really not in a position where, even on paper, where it's been in previous years, having a Jimmy Smith, having a Brandon Carr.
Well, who's going to guard Diggs next month? Who's going? In the
yeah,
big
sure.
games, who's going? Who's going to guard all the Bengals' weapons?
Well,
when we see them in a couple of weeks.
And that's where I go back to that point of you're not going to stop them, but what they were able to do Sunday, what they were able to do in that New England game back in week three, which, that's why Sunday's performance reminded me a little bit of that, is can you get those high variance splash plays, those turnovers? Those turnovers change the game. I mean, they really do. Go and look at the statistical evidence of if you are plus two in the turnover margin in a game, the number of games percentage of games you win. I mean, it's through the roof. And it's not exactly counterintuitive saying that. I think it's common sense just thinking about that, but it really does speak to how important it is. So you look at that game, and yes, statistically, they gave up over 6 yards per play. They gave up 9.2 yards per passing attempt to Mitch Trubisky. I mean, that's not very good, but what was great was Roquan Smith picking the ball off inside the 20-yard line. Patrick Queen with a highlight, acrobatic interception that would have been impressive for a safety or a corner, let alone an inside linebacker. And as we mentioned, Marcus Williams, which was, you know, almost served as an arm punt, you know, from Mitch Trubisky, you know, kind of reminded me of that. But the great range that Marcus Williams showed, and making the catch while he's wearing a, you know, whatever that thing is, a splint, soft cast, whatever it is on his wrist. You get those plays. Josh Allen and the Bills are going to get theirs. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are going to get theirs. You're not going to hold them to 10 points. I mean, you're just not. But if you can hold them in the 20s and you can make a couple game-changing takeaways, then you've got a shot then, assuming your offense is going to score points and you're going to run the ball and you're going to use play-action passing.
So, I would say this. The only way they're going to win in January is if they take the ball away. If they can't take the ball away, they're not going to force enough punts and they're not going to score enough points. Yeah. Like, yeah. I think that's just the bottom line. They're going to be playing better teams with better weapons. Their defense needs to do what it did on Sunday, which we need to be talking on a Monday morning after a road win in Kansas City or Buffalo or wherever they're going to have to go and play. It's going to be about, oh, Williams got a pick. Peters brought one back. You know, Patrick Queen or one of these guys that every time they're punching the ball, Chuck Clark punching the ball, that they punch it out and fall on it at the 18-yard line, and Lamar gets a cheap touchdown out of it. I mean, that's going to swing January for them. If they don't take the ball away in January, I don't think they're going to win. I really don't.
Yeah, well, I mean, this isn't the offense of 2019 that led the league in scoring. I mean, talk what you want about whether it's running or passing the ball. They scored a boatload of points that year. You know, and even 2020, they were scoring a lot of points. You know, what we've seen this year, by and large, early in the season, yeah, they were scoring a ton of points. They scored 38 against Miami. They scored 37 against the Patriots. But since then, you know, they've been scoring in the 20s and teens. You know, it hasn't been this explosive, overwhelming kind of offense that can just boat race you. We just haven't seen that this year. And at this point, I don't see any evidence that suggests that you're going to be able to do that. I mean, even what we're talking about on Sunday, where they ran the ball so well, you know, over 200 rushing yards, 5.1 yards per carry. What did that equate to? 16 points, right? And I'm not saying that as a knock. I'm just saying that when you're running the ball like that, but you're really not getting much from your passing game, you're not going to score a ton of points. So yeah, their formula for, if you're laying out a path for how they beat a Kansas City, how they beat a Buffalo, how they beat a Cincinnati, it's, you know, scoring into the 20s. You still got to score and, you know, limit, you know, make a couple stops, get a couple turnovers. And if you can hold those teams, you know, in the low to mid 20s, then I think you've got a shot. But
make them kick field goals too. That's another part of this.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you can, Sunday was a great example of this. I mean, you know, Mitch Trubisky, 276 yards through the air, 9.2 yards per pass attempt. I mean, they made some plays in the passing game, even though the Ravens,
he looked very, very capable other than the picks. Right.
Well, and that's right. I mean,
yeah. I mean, like, and the second pick, the Queen pick was, I can't even blame him on that. You know what I mean? That was an NFL serious lottery pick from the Bears pass, right? That just a first round draft pick made a hell of a play. I mean, he really did. And so I don't, Mitch Trubisky should have won. I mean, he should have won the game. I mean, like, the Steelers were favored. They were playing a third string quarterback. I mean, this was really a rabbit out of the hat, I thought. I mean, and I think the organization feels that. I think the celebration after the game felt that way. I think 9-4 feels really heady for this team. But I think the most important thing for the team is they're trending in the right way health-wise. I'm standing next to Ronnie Stanley. I'm standing next to J.K. Dobbins. I'm standing next to Gus Edwards, even though Lamar's not there. But I'm standing next to all the rest of these guys, and I'm thinking, okay, I feel a little more October-y about this than I do the way I felt the last couple of weeks, where it felt like they can't win without these guys. And I don't think they could win without these guys.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just a matter of hoping they stay on the field, hoping J.K. Dobbins continues to feel better and better, hoping Gus Edwards continues to feel better and better. I mean, Ronnie Stanley's come back and been lost again for a couple of weeks. I mean, you know, it's that ankle, you're just kind of holding your breath. Anytime someone rolls into him anytime. I mean, that's just the truth. You know, that's going to be the truth with someone who's had multiple surgeries to a lower limb. You know, I mean, he's in the trenches. It's a little tough to have an expectation to say that he's never going to have someone roll into him. So you're going to hold your breath every single time.
Well, you got
But
four more games, and then you hope to have four more, right? Like, literally, you're
sure.
trying to get through eight games and get to Phoenix with these with a cast of veterans. I mean, as I looked around that locker room, yeah, there's some kids and Tyler Linderbaum that look like he ever shaved. But for the most part, I looked around watching dancing veterans winning a game in Pittsburgh, and I thought, all right, they've got some. They've got the elements to win a championship in here. They do. But this is they're not the best team, and that worries me.
Well, they weren't the best team in 2012. At this point in time in 2012, and
Joe Flacco was
this is
planking.
Cam Cameron was fired. We were talking about Jim Caldwell. You know that at this point in time in 2012, and come on,
Dancing on the edge of chaos. There you go,
yeah,
Jason
that's
Cole.
not to say we're going to see a repeat of that, but it is a reminder. Hey, look at the LA Rams at this point in time last year. No one was saying they were going to win the Super Bowl at this point in time last year. They were a team that. I mean, we saw them in Baltimore. Did anyone think at that point they were winning the Super Bowl? And that was very late in the season. Ravens almost beat them. A very depleted Baltimore Ravens football team nearly beat them. So,
I didn't even know the
you know,
Bengals were allowed to go to the Super Bowl, and then they did. So yeah, this
no,
time last year,
exactly. So,
yeah.
and that's where we really go back to what we were talking about last week. Let this play out, and we're guilty of this. And you know, we talk about the big picture, despite what John Harbaugh said after the Broncos game. We talk about narratives. I mean. That's just what it is, right? I mean,
That was one of the most moronic things he's ever said.
lots of, in
To
fairness,
lecture
lots
the
of,
media on
yeah.
not having a narrative. But why are we here if we're not telling a story? Stupid. I mean, it didn't make any sense.
I mean, I lots of coaches say things like that, and it's just, it is what it is. I mean, it's an emotional time after a game. I think most of what coaches and players say immediately after a game serves little value. You know, if I'm being totally honest, even though clearly it's something as media what we value, but that said, I think the overall message after the Denver game and knowing that Lamar was going to miss some time was let this thing play out, you know, and also enjoy the ride a little bit. You know, that's what my big takeaway from Sunday was that was a lot more enjoyable, much more. I mean, it was a fun game. It was crazy. You don't want to be down to your number three quarterback. I mean, that's a nightmare scenario, but they still won and they still did what they wanted to do, which was run the football. And even though the defense, you know, from a yardage standpoint, you know, it was a little cringe at times, they got three takeaways. I mean, what else can you ask for in that spot against your biggest historic rival, knowing you're an underdog, knowing you don't have the best, you know, your absolute best player on the field, and they won. I mean, it was 16-14. It was, you know, there's nothing pretty about it per se, but they got the job done. And that's where this one feels different than the ugliness of Denver, the ugliness of the Carolina game. Obviously, the Jacksonville game where you blow another fourth quarter lead, you know, there was a lot to not feel so good about since the bye week. You know, this is a game that, you know, 16-14, I get it. Again, style points lacking, eyeball test, it wasn't anything overwhelming. But they got the job done. And that's why I said for me, this was a win that was good for the soul, not just for the Ravens themselves, as we waited in the interview room. And it was a longer than normal kind of post-game speech and game balls and celebrating and all that. It's longer than you typically see after an NFL game. So it speaks to the emotions and the excitement for the football team. But I think this one really helped the soul of the fan base as well. Beat the Pittsburgh Steelers for the first time since 2019, you know, a four-game losing streak, which had been their longest to Pittsburgh since 01 through 03. You know, that was good. You know, that was a game that was good for the soul, and I think it renews some of the enthusiasm and optimism while also acknowledging that, hey, you know, you got another AFC North road game coming up this week, and not expecting to have Lamar Jackson. We'll see if Tyler Huntley is out of concussion protocol. Sounds like they think he was in pretty good shape, but you just never really know. It's the brain. You got to see how the baseline tests and all those things do over the course of the week. But you're feeling Feeling pretty good about this football team after Sunday's win. I don't think there's any question about that, considering, yes, Anthony Brown was their quarterback for most of that second half.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. He will be in Owings Mills all week long. I am not going to Cleveland this Saturday, just FYI. So don't look for Kevin Stefanski to leave me a media credential in Cleveland this week, or me to have the leg lamp out, or even my favorite breakfast place of all time in Tremont this weekend. So if you're going to Cleveland, have a good time. Stop the Hall of Fame and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Football Hall of Fame and all that. We're going to have Rock and Roll Hall of Famers this week. She's in Cleveland. She's Gina Shock from the Go-Go's. It's all brought to you. By the way, Luke, I have new scratch-offs. Roz gave me these at Fadley's last week. The holiday cash drop. We're going to be giving these away. Still have a handful of Ravens scratch-offs as well. Some of the grand prizes are gone from the Ravens, but the 20 grand is still out there. Make sure you're checking that out. John Allen from Child's Play, My Childhood, Stone Horses, SR71, Charm City Devils. He's been in a lot of bands. He's my dude. He'll be there along with the Hammerjacks documentary crew, and as well as a band called Beyond Words from back in the 80s that morphed into a band called Milkshake that had elements of Gina Shock's first band with my friend George Candela. So we're going to tell some old rock and roll stories. We're going to eat some crab cakes, and we're going to celebrate. Don't tell anyone. I know you guys think I'm turning 31 this year. 31 years on the radio. Beginning on Tuesday, Kenny Albert dragged me into his smoky studio at 5 Light Street down at WITH. So 31 years ago Tuesday, it all happened. We'll be celebrating on Thursday at Costas with our friends from the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Window Nation. I got my Window Nation gear going on. 866-90-NATION is the way to order those windows. You buy two, you get two free. You mention me, you get 0% financing. So I tell you that there's a little discount in that. And our friends at Goodwill, and Elise Rosiniak is going to join us this week talking about the holidays. I had Dan Rodericks on at Fadley's, and he gave the greatest plug for Goodwill that I could possibly give. We're talking about his incredible show. He's bringing it back in the spring. It'll be airing this week. So if you want to hear just a great, great conversation, if you love Baltimore, you'll love my piece with Dan Rodericks this week from Fadley's last week on the Crab Cake Tour. He said that for the holidays, Luke, his whole family has agreed that they're not going to buy anything new. They're only going to buy for the holidays secondhand things so that they're not screwing up the environment. Things aren't being made. They're buying things that are already out there. So Goodwill is the king and the queen and the greatest place to do that. So make sure you're taking care of our friends at Goodwill. And if you're cleaning up, you want to give things away after the holidays, our friends at Goodwill will be there with their jobs program. So big shout out for them. We did the great thing that we did down there Thanksgiving time and feeding a bunch of families as well. So I'm very, very appreciative of all of our sponsors this time of the year. And the Ravens are winning, and they're on to Cleveland. But we're not on to Cleveland yet. We're still going to talk a little bit more Pittsburgh and wrap things up around here. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Ravens football and BaltimorePositive.com.